There we go. And so here we go, we'll fire this up. Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, hello, everybody. How you doing? And I would like to welcome tonight. I've been wanting to have our sponsors come in and do a show, and I just happened to bump into Leroy Postman from Ranch House Tattoo, and he was agreeable.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Leroy.
Thank you, Tom.
And so we're hoping tonight, I don't know if you know our sort of format, we kind of like to find out why you came to this crazy little town that seems to have everything people want. But I've been here 50 years, and when I moved in, it was 5,000 people. And today, 50 years later, there's still 5,000 people. So why did we not become like a mega city? So it's kind of interesting, that whole program. So yourself, I understand, you know, from chatting with you a little bit, that you were not born in Smithers.
No.
And so where were you actually brought to life, Leroy?
I was brought to life in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Right. That's a very cool place. I actually went there back in the day quite a few times when I worked out at Tumbler Ridge back when they were making that country. And I really liked Grand Prairie. It's a really neat little place. So you grew up there? You had your whole life there?
You bet. Yeah. I grew up just outside of the city, 45 minutes to the north, essentially, in a small hamlet called The Glass.
Okay, all right.
And went to school there, went to college there, and then eventually moved away.
Right, right. And so were you living on the town? Like, were you a farm boy at one time?
Yeah. You bet. Yeah, we had a cattle farm and a grain farm. So we did both.
Right, right. So that was pretty interesting lifestyle growing up. You had chores to do, and the family was focused on the farming end of it.
Yep.
And out of that group, like, there's usually one child that becomes the farmer, and then the other ones all say, no, we are not going to be farmers. We got other plans, you know? So did you follow that pattern? Like, you
essentially, I think, it was interesting because all four of us, I have three siblings, and all four of us, none of us have gone into the farming industry at all. So
that is real interesting, actually. Because it's a, you know, it depends. Like, I had a little farm here in Smithers, and we were kind of very small time. So it was a hobby farm.
Okay.
So, but that I seeked out that lifestyle. I wanted to have a little place, have a few horses, you know, and that type of stuff. But if you're in it full time and you've got to cut hay that's on a field of 1,000 acres, sometimes that kind of changes your whole approach to farming.
Yeah. I feel like it takes a certain type of person that just can either dive head first in and do it completely, or essentially it's really hard, I think, hobby-wise.
Yeah.
You get a busy life, and farming is very demanding.
Yes. Yes, very demanding and very dependent upon weather and so many things. So you said you went to college, Leroy. What happened at college?
So I went to Grand Prairie Regional College. I took, of course, the fine arts diploma. And it was the late 90s, early 2000s was a lot of fun. I played sports as well. And I essentially graduated with a diploma in fine arts, a certificate, so to speak.
Right, right. So fine arts, you must have some bent to fine arts. Like, I don't know if you could just go in cold turkey. Like, you must have drawn a little bit at home, painted once in a while, or did you have that?
Yeah, I drew since I was really young. And it wasn't until I was in high school, actually, that I had drawn something for a friend for their birthday. And the high school art teacher came to me and said, "Did you draw this?" And I was like, "Yep." And she was like, "You need to be in my art class." And
yeah,
like,
yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, from there, I just kind of found my way and realized how much I enjoyed it. And then when I went to college, it was something that I was really wanting to do.
That is so cool, actually, how that developed, you know, and then someone around you could see your talent and try to encourage you to go in that direction. I mean, there's so many directions that we can go.
Yeah.
But the fine art direction is pretty cool. Now, I had a brother. I still have a brother. And he, at 14, decided he wanted to drum. And so he started drumming. And now he's reaching 70. He's still a crazy drummer. He's still learning. But I tried so hard to get him to take an electrical apprenticeship.
Because
I wanted him to have some backup if anything went wrong. But he was like, "No, I'm a drummer, and that's the end of the line." So in your case, you had mentioned to me that you had gone into carpentry. How did that kind of come together?
So that's actually interesting because I graduated college, and then essentially I just got like right into the labor part of carpentry. I'd moved around a bit, had a few like odds and ends jobs, so to speak, ended up in Kelowna and started working for a builder, just like collecting garbage on a job site.
Right.
And just
right.
like, you know, green entry level kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I did that for a few years, and then essentially once I moved over to Europe, over to Berlin there, I started really working in a wood shop, essentially.
Okay, like a cabinet shop?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And how did you get to Berlin? Like, are you German descent?
No, that would be my beautiful wife that's German.
Right, right.
I met her briefly in Kelowna, and she was already on her way overseas when I met her.
So, okay.
After dating short time, she told me that, or asked me, she was like, "You should come with me." So
wow.
I went with, and we landed in Berlin at some point, and we stayed there for 13 years.
Wow, that's hard to believe, Leroy, it really is. That's awesome. And that's how love works at that period of time. That we're sort of, I'd say we're kind of susceptible to love. When we find the right path, we want to keep on it, you know, and that's
exactly.
pretty cool. So when you got to Berlin, how did you get into this this shop? Like Germans are very, like when they have an apprenticeship, it's serious.
It is serious.
We're over here, it's kind of like, oh, well, I might go to work here and there or whatever, I'll quit and go somewhere else. It's not the same sort of dedication.
No.
And when you get dedicated in Germany, you got to hang in there for a while. They don't expect you to quit.
No.
You know, so how did that come about?
So I was actually doing some part-time work for a gallery in Berlin, just doing installations for shows. And I ran into a guy through the gallery that had done some work, and then he ended up doing some work as well at a restaurant where my wife worked as well. And got to be friends with him and started just doing like helping him out, essentially working on the side with him a bit.
Right.
And then through him, he brought me back to this workshop where he ended up renting space, because in Berlin it's very common, if you can't have your own shop, you share a space with other carpenters.
Right.
So we went into this workshop and there was 9 other carpenters there.
No kidding.
And then I just planted myself in the midst of all of them and just kind of helped everybody, worked alongside. And they did push me. They wanted me to do an apprenticeship, but I kept putting it off because I really wanted to get into tattooing. And that's,
so how did the tattooing was in Berlin?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it kind of, I had wanted to do tattooing since I was really young. When I got my first tattoo, I felt like that might be my calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about it my entire life. If you ask people that have met me back in the day, they'd be like, "Yeah, that was something I thought you were going to get into."
Yeah. Now that is so interesting. So. Well, Leroy, as we go through our program, we always like to play some songs, some of your chosen few, and they don't have to be like life-changing songs.
No.
They can just songs you like, or they can be any which way you want. So you've got a playlist. You set it up for me.
Yeah.
Nobody set up my playlist before, so you're very professional.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I usually just get the songs over the email, and then I set it up. So I've got this one here by the Swans.
Yeah.
And let's just give it a go, and then maybe you could tell me a little bit of your connection to it.
Cool.
Okay? So that was God Damn the Sun by the Swans,
yeah.
Right? And that was off their album, What did I get that cause? Burning World.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard it and I saw the name of the song, I thought, well, man, we need that sun mm-hmm. here in the winter. Why would we be mad against the sun? Yeah. So how did you get connected with that
music? So actually that the songs that I picked kind of over the last 10 years of my life, I kind of put them together from what I've been listening to.
Right.
And that one specifically, that band specifically, was brought to my attention by the guy that got me into the workshop.
Okay.
In Berlin.
Okay. Yeah.
He had a really good friend of his named Vova, and it was a Russian guy.
Right.
And he's a musician.
Right.
Like really, really good musician. And he came to work one day. We were working together and he's like, we always listen to music and we put music on
yeah,
in the shop.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, have you ever heard this band? And I was like, no. And so we started listening to it together, and it just always reminds me of that kind of
moment, yeah.
moment
yeah.
and those people essentially.
Yeah. No, that sounds pretty good. The guy sounds to me like Leonard Cohen
yeah.
from back in the day, and he's kind of speaking and it's sort of a very interesting approach, you
yeah.
know, to that music. So, Lior, we're just going back now. We talked about, you know, we've got you in as a carpenter, and
yep.
I mean that's a pretty cool trade.
Yep.
There's so many facets to it, and if you're in cabinet making, it so it's such a precise job
mm-hmm.
that when you made this decision, like you know, that you've been thinking about tattoos. Was there something around the Berlin that, like, was there a lot of tattoos that you saw at that
Yeah,
time?
Essentially, yeah. There was a large amount that, at the time that I started looking back in the 2010, I think it was, for a shop to get into, I think there was around 99 tattoo shops in Berlin at the time.
Wow, that's incredible.
So that was, for me, just like, okay, this is something that is... Yeah, very, like there was just a lot of it, an abundance, let's say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And obviously, if there's that many shops, there's got to be that much demand
yeah.
that the tattoo business has really taken off
mm-hmm.
from the old days where you'd get the odd sailor put on a tattoo.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants to have a tattoo, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a very cool situation. So you actually got into tattooing in Berlin?
Yes.
Okay. So now we've got 99 shops. Now this kind of brings me back to this guy I met a while ago, Matt. He's actually a bootmaker.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was in an area. He was getting trained, and there was other boot shops. So he came to Smithers. There's no boot shops,
yeah.
you know. So it's kind of like this might be an opportunity to come to an area where you could really open your own business. How did you make that decision to come from Berlin? You know, there's only around 10 million people in Berlin.
Yeah.
And yep. you're going to end up in Smithers with 5,000 people.
Yep. That went back to 2014. We lived in Berlin for 7 years before we actually returned to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my brother and his fiance at the time decided they were going to get married. And he asked me to be his best man. So
nice.
Basically put pressure on us to come back.
Right, right.
Which was
right.
good, you know.
And we don't have enough money and
yeah.
all the rest of this stuff. But
exactly.
okay.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
So, so then we planned a big summer trip because it was in July that they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I basically decided, okay, we're going to fly into Grand Prairie where
right.
visit my sisters and
yeah.
then do a road trip, come to Smithers, and then kind of loop our way back to Kelowna and then back to Grand Prairie and fly back out.
Excellent.
Thing.
Yeah, excellent.
I think it was 2.5 weeks that we were here, almost 3 weeks.
Right. And so you were touching on some of your areas where you had been before,
yeah.
and you could kind of look at them, not thinking, well, I'm going to move, but thinking like, oh, this I did like it here,
yeah.
and I did like it here, and I really like Grand Prairie, you know, and
yeah.
so on, yeah. So that how that sort of then the wedding came up, and the wedding was in Smithers.
Yeah. Well, so, it was at the actually the Round Lake Hall.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a very cool spot. Yeah.
We got to see that area, which is crazy because now we actually live quite near that area.
Yeah. Yeah. In Quick.
Yeah.
Like Quick is just an amazing little community. And and you know, that's the thing when I say there's 5,000 people in Smithers, the downtown core really can't, you know, take too many more people.
No.
But the surrounding area, you know, we're pushing 20,000 people,
yeah,
you know, between Houston and Hazleton and around the area. So there's lots of people out there,
yeah,
that service that community and would service a business, you know.
Yeah.
So when you got to the wedding, like, and everything went pretty cool, you're looking around and you're, how do you convince your wife, who's kind of like from Germany and really wants to be around her family, to move to Quick, British Columbia?
Well, I think that both of us, after living in a big city like that for so long, we were kind of craving the small town rural lifestyle of just having a garden and having, you know, some land or something.
Yeah.
We were dreaming and daydreaming quite a bit about like owning a property in the middle of the forest and having a garden and, you know, possibly animals and doing all of that kind of like get away from the hustle and bustle of a big city.
Exactly, exactly. And that's sort of where I came into the picture also, Leroy, as we were a group in that period of time that I came up in the early 70s. We called ourselves the Back to the Landers.
Mm.
And so we wanted to get out of the city, and we wanted the opportunity to have the garden, have the animals, and live the country lifestyle, you know? So it's kind of interesting that you would be, I would call you now the nouveau Back to the Landers, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, unfortunately, you know, it's very difficult to buy land because the price of everything is so crazy.
Yeah.
So I was talking with a guy in Nanaimo, and they have kind of given up on buying land, but they're renting.
Yeah.
And they're able to do what they want to do, but they are not going to own the land. It's just too expensive, you know? So now we've got a little bit of tattoo work. You didn't have a shop in Berlin.
No.
Yeah.
I essentially stayed working as a carpenter in Berlin because mainly just bureaucracy. It was easier for me to be an employee than it was self-employed.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. With giant, without becoming like a citizen or whatever is going to go on
exactly.
there. Yeah. So when you came to after the wedding and everybody's had a good time, and you're making a decision, well, why don't we give it a shot here?
Yeah.
Are you thinking, well, I can always get a job as a carpenter?
Yeah.
Now, that's the one thing I was telling with my brother. It's like, you can always get a job as an electrician, you know? But he was like, no, I'm not interested, you know? And so you have this skill. Now, they can't take that skill away from you, Leroy.
No.
You know what I mean? Once you learn that, now, if you ever get the farm or whatever you're doing, you're going to be able to still build.
Yeah.
Like building is a big part of my life, you know, when you have a little property, you're always building a shed or you're doing one thing or another. But then you've got to say, well, what is that I really want to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I love carpentry, but I don't really want to do that like as a job.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some other direction. I want something for my artistic side. And how did that come together?
Essentially, when we moved here in 2020, I did get a job as a carpenter working for a crew in town, and I just really couldn't stop thinking about the fact that I was getting later on in life and still hadn't really done what I wanted to do.
Right.
It came down to just being out on the job site every day and thinking, man, I'm like over 40 now and I've never tattooed, and I always talked about how I wanted to. Why have I not like made this my full-time job? And I think it was just safety and not wanting to take that leap,
the risk.
Yeah,
certainly. 100%.
So,
and you're in something comfortable, you know, and it's working, you're getting paid, and
you
like the job, you work with your hands. So when you made that decision, always, you know, in a relationship, we've got to convince our partner that we're no longer going to be making the money we were making, and now we're going to gamble.
Yep.
And so that's a kind of, you've got to have a partner that's willing to gamble with you.
Yep.
And that's a big part of our relationships, you know?
100%.
Yeah. So your wife supports, she wants you to find your artistic side.
Yeah.
Bring it out, you know? So then you're going to go, well, why don't we, we're very safe working as a carpenter. Why don't we work for somebody as a tattoo artist?
Yeah.
And did you go in that direction?
No, I thought about going in that direction, but sadly in Smithers, it's just not an option. So.
Yeah, right, right. So you were almost forced into opening your own business.
Exactly, yeah.
So now you've got something that you want to do, and you also have to become a businessman.
Yeah.
Now you have to figure out, well, I got to pay rent.
Yeah. And then, you know. I've got to learn some new skills.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's life. Yeah. It's exactly what we want in life. We don't want to be sitting there on the same treadmill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we've got to always be looking for things that are going to keep us expanding our mind, you know? So then you opened a shop.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was a one-man show.
Yep.
How do you reach out to the people? How did you find customers?
So I actually started doing a few weekends here and there at our house out of town in Telqua.
Right.
I had a separate room. We were lucky enough to have a room we could set up as like a shop, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then through just tattooing folks on the weekend, I met someone that was working in the hair salon in town there.
Right.
And she talked to the owner, and the owner reached out and said, hey, do you want to rent a small space? And I was like, honestly, yes, that's exactly what I'd like
perfect
to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, bringing you back to Germany, where we got 9 carpenters in a shop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they've all got their space.
That's what attracted me to it, is that I was like, this is something I'm very comfortable with, is like having more than one business under the roof.
Right, right. And that's so, like a sharing program, you know, because we can't afford to rent that business on our own unless we're making piles of money. Yeah. But if we can share the expense, you know, it's a pretty cool adventure to go that way.
Exactly. Anyway. Yeah.
So I want to know a little bit more about like the tattoo business. Like I don't have any tattoos, and it's interesting. You know, the difference. I have a son who's tattooed up pretty good.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm hanging around with him and he goes into a store, there's always somebody there that will come and talk to him about his tattoos.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And they compare the artwork, you know, and it's almost like, I don't know, like I fiddled around looking for gold, and gold out of each creek is different.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's come from this creek or that creek. And artists are different. Every person, you can't do it the same.
No.
You know what I mean? So it really is kind of cool the way that there's a connection there.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know. So how did you find people to come to do some artwork on them? And just backing up a little bit, what is the preparation for that? Like, do you have to kind of, you know, to go in, I understand that it hurts. Does it hurt?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So you've got to have, the person has to be prepared for that. And then you must have to take the hair off their body, or, you know, must be a lot of sort of things that have to follow to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite an extreme amount of sanitation.
Sanitation.
That you have to follow.
Preparation, yeah.
Cleaning, sanitizing, shaving, all of the things. There's a lot of gloves and making sure that you're spraying down your station and
right.
all of that
stuff. So. Yeah, yeah. Is there like health inspectors in that?
Every year health inspector will come through and check out the shop in person. There's a local agent here that comes through. When I moved locations, she came through the new shop in August there. And it's kind of nice because then you know everybody that is working in the industry with their doors opened as a business is being regulated.
Right.
And that
right.
it is essentially safe for you to get tattooed there.
I think that's very important, especially yeah. for cautious people like myself,
exactly.
where I wouldn't know if I could trust
yeah.
the situation, you know, and if I feel like that someone's looking
yeah.
for me, I would feel a little better about that, you know. Yeah. And you'd want to see a person was, you know, clean, and you know, there's certain things you would look at, like if they were drinking at coffee break and whatever, you can't be questionable, you
yeah.
know how things are going. So you want to be a good business person.
Yeah.
And so you've got to put forward who you really are, you
yeah.
know. So it's kind of cool that way. Okay, well, let's squeeze another song in, okay?
Sounds good.
Now, we did have the Swans. Now, this guy, I kind of like this guy, David Lynch.
Yeah.
And he's got a song called I Want You. So let's see how it sounds. So that song, Leroy, that's David Lynch, And the song I Want You is off his album, The Big Dream.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I wouldn't say that was exactly the same sort of feel from that I got from our Canadian artist, but it's sort of in the same sort of realm of style.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe I feel it's a little bit German.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Did that song come out of that way too?
Yeah. Yeah. That album essentially was released around the time that we were living over there, and he passed away this year, I'm pretty
right.
sure.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I just was thinking about songs to pick, and I had a moment where I was like, oh, I really enjoyed listening to that album when it came out. It was just a really different sound. And it's a funny story. My wife worked at a restaurant over there, and a lot of people came through that were quite famous, essentially.
Right, right.
And his son was in town making a documentary, and he would go to the restaurant, and they developed a relationship and got to know each other quite well. So we ended up going to the screening of his documentary.
No way.
And while we were there, he all of a sudden kind of gathered everyone and said, hey, we're going to go into this room. And there was a big projector screen in the room. And we all sat down on chairs. And all of a sudden, David Lynch comes up on the screen, and he was FaceTiming or Skyping with all of us in the room. So it was kind of a moment where I was like listening to the music and then had that experience. And I was just like, man, I don't want to forget these moments in my life.
Yeah.
So when I was picking out music, I was like, this is something that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like not too many people realize that David Lynch also made music. So.
No, exactly. And that's one thing that's kind of cool about our shows is we can introduce people to different music, and then they can follow their direction on that themselves, you know. So it's pretty interesting. So just going back now, we've talked a little bit about the tattooing process, and of course, it's highly artistic. Like, I mean, you just can't, I know myself, like I've made a few things, and I did a real nice statue, and I made it out of stick men. That was the length of my artistic ability, and I welded them together,
cool.
You know, but it's just not... Like your work, you're an artist.
Yeah.
You have to be, and people want to see that. That was the question I was wondering. Do you have like sort of a file of your work that people can look at?
Essentially, back in the day, you used to put photographs of your tattoos into a photo album, and you'd have it laying in the shop. So when people come in, they'd open the photo album and go, oh, these are all the, and it'd just be random pictures of people's bodies.
Yeah.
Of course, going forward, all of the changes in our modern world, basically your portfolio at this point is Instagram.
Right.
And Facebook and TikTok and all of those platforms that you basically put yourself out there and say, this is my work. I would say one of the major ones is, of course, Instagram because of the picture platform that it is.
Right.
And I still have, like, when I go to tattoo conventions, I still have the odd person that's a certain age that'll come up and be like, do you have photographs of your work? And
Sadly,
they're all online.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, that I'm one of those guys. Like, I still have photo albums, and I like to pull them out and look at them. And I'm not on Instagram.
Yeah.
My wife is, but I'm not. But just dragging that down a little bit more, how do you actually charge for your work? How does that work? Do you have an hourly rate?
So, essentially, yes. You usually have an hourly rate. Every artist is different depending on skill set, speed. It's just a wide range at this point. Artists start at somewhere around 100 to 250, I've heard of, per hour.
Wow.
And then the way I like to do it, because over in Europe, they don't really do an hourly rate. They do more so like flat rate or by the session. So like if you'd come in and they'd say, okay, I want €400 for this session, but you can make the session as long as you can handle it.
Right.
So you wouldn't have that length dependent amount, you right. have more so just a flat rate.
Okay,
I see. So that was something I was really used to when I came over and started tattooing here, and I just felt like there's certain things I will just put a flat rate on because I know what it'll take me, mm-hmm. and sometimes I feel like it's not worth an hourly rate. It's mm-hmm. more so just like I know it's going to be whatever, maybe an hour and a half, but
right.
The design is simple and it just isn't something that needs to be charged out that way.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of in a sense, like I'm a mechanic by trade. Mm-hmm. So we have, like if you go to a shop now, somebody's going to charge you $130 an hour yeah. to work on your car. And you're in a position where you can't do that job. So yeah. you have to be able to pay.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like if I want a tattoo, I can't really tattoo myself. So yeah. I've got to look for the artists that I like, yeah. and then I have to accept that it's going to cost me.
Yeah.
It's like almost like buying a painting off the wall. They've got a price set on that, and I'm going to either want it or not want yeah. it. You know, so it's kind of interesting, yeah. really, that part of it. And then in your sense, now you've worked your way into the business side of it, where you have to pay rent every month,
exactly, yeah.
with a shop, and that so you've got to have customers come in. You can't be spending your day just sort of waiting, like a yeah. barber might sit on the chair and wait for a customer to come in, you know. But anyways, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. That sounds pretty cool. So usually around now, I punch in my midway part of the show, so we have a station identification.
Okay.
We're on CICK Smithers Community Radio, and we're 93.9 on your FM dial. And we are a volunteer-run organization, so we have sponsors, and we're pretty happy tonight to have Leroy Postman here, one of our sponsors from Ranch House Tattoo. And then I've also got my other sponsors up on the wall. I've got Classic Sanitary, Community Radio Fund, and I've got BV Farmers Market, Bugwood Bean, the BV Concert Association, and Accounting on Broadway. And we'd like to thank those sponsors very much for helping us out.
Nice.
To keep this radio running, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So just in conclusion of that, my name is Thomas Tom Roper, and my show is On the Ropes. And tonight we have Leroy Postman from Ranch House Tattoo with us. And we're just trying to find a little bit more about this guy's life and what he's been doing. And so we've been having a bit of fun on that. So let's continue on, Leroy, of where we're at. That was another question I had that I wanted to get out to you. It's so easy to forget things. Where did you come up with the name Ranch House Tattoo?
Actually, that's a funny one. I started tattooing out at my home here in the area. And basically, my wife and I live out on ranch land.
Right,
out
right,
in,
yeah.
In Telqua there. And my mom kind of referred to the house we live in as the ranch house, and she used to live in Smithers here actually as well. So it was something that I kind of heard a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about putting all of my pictures on Instagram, essentially.
Right.
Because I was
right.
like, I want people to see so that if they want to get tattoos, they can check out my Instagram. And so I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I got to think of a name. And for some reason, I was like, oh, I'll just call it Ranch House because that's where I'm tattooing out of, and it just makes sense.
It does completely make sense.
So essentially, it came from the house that we live in. And then when I moved into town out of the house, I was running it by somebody at work that was on the job site there. And he doesn't have any tattoos, this guy. And he was just like, oh, that's really, really good name. It kind of suits the area. And that's kind of why I just left it, because it did kind of go with what we have around here.
So. Yeah, exactly. I think it fits really well.
Yeah.
Really well. That's pretty cool. Now, Leroy, the other thing that I wanted to expand on a little bit is, Is the tattoo industry, or was it at one time, sort of a little bit alternative? And the people that were getting tattoos would be a little bit alternative. They wouldn't be part of sort of mainstream. So there must have been a little bit of a division between that. And maybe it's adapted and changed a little bit now, but there's still that connection with the alternative lifestyle. Do you see that there?
100%. Yeah. I feel like back in the 90s, for example, and even farther than that, people would get tattoos in a way to publicly say, like, I'm not conforming.
Right,
I'm
right.
different.
Yeah.
I want to visually be different. I don't want to be a generic person. I want to be someone that's just, you know, visually something that you just would like, oh, okay, that person has tattoos.
Right, and, right.
You know, punk, all those kind of things that people just wanted to define themselves as. And I feel like through time, it's gotten a little bit away from maybe, like, you know, there was also the biker side of
it, you know,
biker gangs and all that kind of stuff, the criminal side of it, the sailor side of it, a lot of prisons, you get like stick and poke people in there and stuff like that. And then you have the sailors back in the day that were traveling and collecting. So it's kind of always been like evolving culture, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like nowadays it is so much more accepted, and therefore you're seeing a lot of other people in our society that are showing up with tattoos on their bodies.
Right.
And it's not just the people that are saying, I want to be, it still is alternative, but it's more of, should I say, like, normalized alternativeness?
Yeah, sort of even mainstream in a certain way.
Trendy.
Would that sort of put the alternative people off, and they'd be looking for another route that they could become alternative?
Essentially, 100%. I think that whenever you are someone that really wants to define yourself in a way that others aren't, when others start defining themselves in that way, it does put you off. And I think that the difference is that maybe location, you know, like somebody that would never consider getting their face tattooed, if they see a bunch of people with arm and leg tattoos, they might go, I need a face tattoo.
You know? I see. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Very interesting. So the other thing I was thinking about, like, we talked a little bit about it, is acceptance. And so if we've got an alternative group of people and the mainstream group of people, and we're kind of combating, we're trying to find maybe even now with tattoos that we're actually joining those two groups a little bit, and we're sort of able to accept each other maybe a little more than we were. Do you feel that possible?
Yeah, and I think it's also a very good thing in that regard, because I think the one thing our world is lacking is acceptance of other people. So I think that if that even happens within the tattoo industry, of the punks accepting the, let's say, more religious, family-orientated person. I think it's something that we can't have too much of, you know. Understanding each other is one thing, but accepting each other is another.
It's a pretty big word.
Yeah.
It's a very big word. All right. Well, I think we could slide one more song, and it's amazing how quickly this hour goes by. And so we'll just try this one here. Now, this song, oddly enough, is called Low Blood Sugar.
Yeah.
And for myself, I can kind of relate, because I'm a diabetic.
Yeah.
So having low blood sugar is understandable. So I kind of wanted to hear how it went, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll give her a shot here. There she goes.
Somebody rattled my cage today.
That's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
It's got a nice beat, keep it going. And so that artist, his name is Moss Coleman, and then he must be singing with another guy called Scud.
Yep.
And that, where have you found these guys? How did you?
A friend of mine from Berlin, he is a DJ.
Oh, okay.
I would say his like side hustle is his DJ. He plays for friends at birthday parties.
Right.
His DJ name is DJ Krautpleaser.
Okay, good name.
And
he
had a song from this band, from Moscow Man,
right,
on his playlist. And then this is a new album that they've released recently, I'd say within the last 2 months.
Wow.
Called Caviar.
Yes, Caviar, that's
and,
the name of it. Yeah.
I just really like the album, and for some reason that song has stuck out the most to me. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So Leroy, when you and I had a chance to kind of just have a coffee and whatever, and chat about a few things, one thing we mentioned is immigrants. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just expand a little bit on that. There seems to be a real kind of a scare going on in the States right now. Mm-hmm. It's a very dangerous place to be as an immigrant. And even if you've got landed status, they're still going to hassle you. Mm-hmm. And it's just a terrible situation going on down there. But we don't really have that at the moment in Canada. We're kind of holding our own.
Yep.
But there is always a concern about immigrants. And I've also, when we talked about it, I was kind of saying, like, we're all immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, we nobody here has the right to say they're not really an immigrant. Everybody has come from somewhere. I mean, even Indigenous people must have crossed the Bering Straits back in the day, or who knows where and when. But we've all come here to live. We've all got to find a way to get along, going back to the word that you used before, acceptance.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, Leroy?
I find that after living overseas, mm-hmm. and just experiencing another country where you have to go through the system and just put yourself into situations where you're, like, paperwork and just, like, mm-hmm. applying for things, mm-hmm. and just wanting to experience something different from my perspective, essentially. You know, not everybody is going to another place out of travel. And
right.
Sometimes it's more life-threatening and stuff like right. that. So I just feel like no matter what, if people come into the country and they want to live in your community, or you want to live, like, in a community with them, essentially, I find that, like, if you can't find it in your heart to be accepting to people and to everybody, essentially, like, immigrants and beyond, it just makes for an ugly place.
Well, man, that seems to be the way it's developing in the States, unfortunately. Yeah. And I have a brother down there, and my son lives down there, and I feel a little bit concerned for them, you know, in the overall picture. Now, Leroy, of course, if you look at our clock, we're really pounding away on our time, and there's so much I could ask you, because I have a lot of questions, and I really like your approach and the way that you see the world. I kind of like to hear that a little more. I feel that's kind of a caring situation. So just as I'm not even sure if we can squeeze another song in, but I do want to sort of mention your business.
Yeah.
And so if you can tell me, like, you moved off Main Street.
Yes.
Yeah. And where are you located now?
So now we're located at 3782 4th Ave, which is right beside H&R Block.
Okay.
And or Cheeky's Consignment.
Right, right. And that's across the street from the Two Sisters,
you
sort
bet.
Of.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah.
Just by the theater there.
All right. And so how would a person reach you? Like, I came there the other day, mm-hmm. and the door was locked.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So it doesn't say on the door, well, call me or text me or whatever.
That's
how am I going to reach you?
So on my Google page, I for sure have a phone number there. Sadly, the phone number is for when I'm in the shop.
Right, right.
But mainly ranchhousetattoo.com.
That would be the answer.
That would be the answer.
Right.
My website, ranchhousetattoo.com, is where you can book a tattoo. There's information on there, all sorts of information from email to location.
Right,
to,
right. Is there tattoos on there too that I can look at, or I've got to go to your other site?
So there is a couple of tattoo photos that I have put up there. I used to have a link to the Instagram, but for some reason I could never get it to work properly.
Right,
so
right, yeah.
I just put a few photos up, but the main thing is just the information as far as the location of the shop and the hours and walk-in.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, it goes right down to aftercare and what to do before you come in for your tattoo and everything.
Right,
so
those are important things to know.
Yeah.
Very informative. No, that sounds excellent. Excellent. So I'd like to thank you very much for coming out, Leroy. This has really been a real sweet little session. And our goal, of course, is to try to help promote you. And that's what we're trying to do with a little discussion, and people can understand a little bit of your personality. So I'm really, really happy that we've been able to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very
thanks
much.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's been a lot of fun sitting with you.
It's pretty cool setup, Leroy. I really like it. And so I'd like to thank my listeners for coming on board. And always remember that we can get on to the archived programs on smithersradio.com. So we're going to close out tonight. And thank you very much. Where's my cursor going down there? And let's try that.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.